tornadoes, at least 26 dead. And we don't know how many. Now, this is below. This is down in Mississippi, down below. So keep those folks in our prayers and our mind. Several things we need to talk about, or I want to remind you of. After service today, I hope you all remember, there is a potluck. So try your luck at what's in the pot. See what you might want to have for lunch, and join us for a lunch after this. And then we're getting ready for the Easter egg hunt, which will be this Saturday coming up. Now, they're still looking for candy without sticks of things, individually wrapped candy. I think maybe you still need some eggs, or I always take money. And you can get that Lorna or Gloria. Harold, give them money. Don't need no more money. She said, got all the money she needs. Woo! No eggs. Okay. She could use money then, no eggs. But anyway, and then they'll need people to help them hide those eggs on Saturday and help them fill. You need people to help fill the eggs? Just hide. And help guide the children and things. So they need some workers for Saturday. So if you want to be a part of that, talk to either Gloria or Lorna and help with the Easter egg hunt. And the kids enjoy that. It's a good time. We try to have something there so the children enjoy coming to church and doing things and learning things about the Lord. So we'll make that a precious moment to them, hopefully. And we're glad you're all here. We're glad you came this morning. We want to worship the Lord. We want to be faithful in what we do. And we want to say hello to visitors. People just come with us for the first time. Folks that haven't been with us for a while, we say hello to our Zoom group over here. Good morning to you. We're glad you're with us. And God bless you all as we serve the Lord this morning. Oh, Mr. Hey, I'm Mr. Bowman here.
And it's still working, right? Okay. Good morning. I get the privilege of sharing our missions moment with you today. And the good news is there's always mission things going on here. It's great. Even our Easter egg hunt is a bit of a mission just to get people comfortable with the church. But we've got several special things I want to mention. The first is Seth Neely, our own Seth, is going to Boston. And I understand he needs his funds finalized this weekend. So if you've been thinking about doing that and haven't yet, now would be a good time. I also want to tell you about another young lady associated with our congregation, Heaven Diastalo. She and some of her brothers and sisters and her dad sang in the choir with us for several musicals. And Brian Finley was giving music lessons to all the children, and she's really capitalized on those and shared those with us. She's a young lady that's come several times and sung and played guitar, of course. She's going on a missions trip through Cedarville University to Thailand. The thought of being in an airplane for 24 hours to fly gives me the creeps, but she's going, and she could use some funds as well. And she wrote one of the most beautifully written letters I've read in a long time. And I also want to share something. Roxanne and Brian probably know her the best. And in an email, Roxanne said, "I can tell you that Heaven is probably one of the most responsible young women I have known in a long time. She takes her walk with Christ very seriously." So if you're interested in helping her, she could use some funds as well. A couple other things that are coming up. We do a fundraiser for PDHC, the Pregnancy Decision Health Center, every year. And it will run, I think we planned between Mother's Day and Father's Day, kind of fits there. And we will have like the regular size baby bottles you can take home. A lot of people like to put their change in and collect it. Or you can write a check and mark it PDHC. Or we have a large baby bottle bank that we put out there. You can just put stuff in there, but that will be coming up. One thing I always have to mention, because it's one of my personal favorites, is our postage stamp project, and it is ongoing continuously. Any stamp on mail, I know a lot of people just do email and all that kind of stuff now, but anything where it's a stamp that's separately affixed to the envelope, we can use those. And they started back in the 1970s. There's a senior citizens group in Florida that collects them, sorts them, and sells them to stamp collectors, and they've gotten almost $1 million over the years, and it goes to an organization called Publicaciones Alianzas, which means Alliance Publications, and they create Spanish-speaking Sunday school materials, which is a favorite of mine, porque yo hablo un poco de español, because I speak a little Spanish, and Sunday school is so important, and it's something we're going to throw away anyway. You know, when you open your mail, you're just going to throw the envelope away anyway. This is something we can use it. So all you have to do is bring them in, leave it on the envelope, and leave about a half an inch or an inch around it. When I do my mail, I just kind of tear it off and cut it later. Just bring them in. The little shelf that's on the missions board there, you can put them in there. Give them to me, give them to Donna, give them to anybody in the missions group. And I just love that because it's something we're going to throw away. We can make use of it. And I also wanted to let you know we will be having a missions conference in September. Details, we'll let you know as we get closer to that. And just like Jesus said, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples and take every advantage you can. I mean, you don't have to be the one going. You can give the prayer support, the financial support, the emotional support. Or, I mean, I've been blessed. I've shared that most of my students are Muslim, so it's like the mission field was brought to me. But anytime you do a good deed for somebody, give Jesus the credit. You know, just say, I do this because that's what Jesus would want me to do. There's plenty of people around here that need to hear about him too, not just overseas somewhere. So, thank you very much.
You notice the opener wasn't as the deer? That's the director's fault. Not Carol did it right. And the director changed his mind at the last minute. So I'll have to talk to him. I'll call him and see what he has to say. But isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Good. Let's stand and sing this morning, shall we? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. See. rising to the setting sun. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing.
Read together, shall we? Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thank you. You may be seated as we continue.
You are awesome in this.
aside the things of the weak, the burdens that we carry, the things that we go through. We know that they're in God, as we worship, help us still.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're trying some new things, so if you see a little technical glitches here and there, it's not Dan's fault. He didn't know I changed all this stuff over the week, so I've been switching things around, putting a pulpit mic up, so we have that. The headset that I have now is the same as that, blue mic. So if I don't turn it off, we cut Dave off. So if you want me to cut him off, I can do it anytime during the service. But it's a better mic, so we switched that around, and we're able to donate our old headset that we had before. We had two other ones to another church that didn't have one. So we're trying to use our resources, you know, to help others and everything else. So we're trying to get things organized. And sometimes you said you can't hear things, so we're trying to make sure that the system is up so you can hear, that it's not muffled. So let us know today how it works. If it's not good, tell Dan. And if you really appreciate it, let me know. Okay? So this is our time we do prayer and praise. So if you have a praise or a prayer request, then raise your hand. I'll come around. Trish in the back. Went to my aunt's funeral this week, which was, she was a godly woman, so it wasn't a goodbye to her, it was a see you later.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, I want to praise that I've had some serious migraines lately, so they're working on getting another medication to me. However, the insurance denied it, so now we have to appeal it, of course. My prayer is for the lady at the doctor's office. Her husband has been going through some major medical things. So his name is Dwayne. Please keep Dwayne and Mary Jane in your prayers.
I have several praises. First, as always, Jesus comes through. I had surgery a couple weeks ago on my shoulder, and as promised, I feel healed. I got a lot of range of motion in my shoulder now, so I know the big guy always comes through for me. Now I've been going to this church for 13 years, and I appreciate Helen, and I believe it's her birthday today. She was one of the women that welcomed Heather and I here, and We love Helen, and we just wish her all the happy birthday wishes.
I think Randy's was the other day, too, wasn't it? Happy birthday, Randy. Yesterday. 45, right?
45.
Okay, that's good. Hello? Hello?
Donna Wharton trying to get on. That's getting their phone off. Go ahead. I would like to, a praise I have is that my mother turned 98 a week ago, so I thank the Lord that I still have her, and she's doing pretty good, although we took her out for her birthday on that day, never had a broken bone in her life, and the next day she fell and broke her wrist, so I'd like to, but she's doing okay, but she needs prayer for the pain, you know, and being down, so anyway, I'd like to pray for her, and also I'd like for prayer for my niece's husband, who is in the hospital with pancreatitis, and he's having kind of a rough time with it, having a rough time getting it cleared up. He's only 50, so I'd like prayer for him. Thank you.
This is Peggy Luke. If you don't know Peggy Luke, this is Peggy.
Hi. I'd just like you to all continue prayers for my husband, Roger. He has to have a triple bypass done, and he has a blood clot in his heart right now. So they have to dissolve that first before they can do the surgery, which tentatively scheduled for May the 1st. But he just needs a lot of prayer right now. Thank you.
On my way.
Just praise the name of coming here, right there.
We have a great day.
I know, I'll try to keep it down a little. First, I just want to say thank you to the Lord for healing. Everything was healed up except a little bit of the heel needs to be healed. But I'm just so thankful that we have doctors, you know, that God has given the gift to that can help us, because I told Steve I would have been dead way back at age 19 when I need an appendix taken out. So I'm so thankful that we have these doctors today, and I just want to give him praise and for being with Steve and I through the agony of it all. But there's also been some joy and laughter, and no, hardly any tears, but a few. But getting around with one leg, you know, is really, it's really hard. I think about this man that works at Sam's Club. He lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. I don't know if you've ever seen him at Sam's Club. He has crutches, and he's been walking around for years with crutches, and he lost it in a motorcycle accident, his other leg. But anyhow, he's learned how to adapt, and it's really a miracle that we as humans, God does help us to learn to adapt, you know, even after the loss of a loved one, where you feel like part of you's been cut off, basically. He helps you to learn. And so I just want to give God praise today.
Amen. Just making sure before I step down there.
Good idea. Thank you. I had a tough week this week, and I praise God. Last night I wasn't able to sleep, and you know, I just lifted it up to him, and he gave me peace, and I was able to go to sleep. But I just want to say, Pastor's aunt passed away, and we rely so much on him, and he takes care of us, and we need to reach out to him and give him thanks and comfort and support, too. And the Lord is good to give us such a great pastor.
Pray for Holly too. She was in a car accident. I just found that out. Her car's totaled. So if you have another car for her, she might be looking for one.
I just want to say something about the members of this church, the people that come to this church. I had a very trying week this week, and there was a person that stepped up for me in a way that she cannot even imagine, like how much she's helping me. And I just want to say, if there's new people here that you can always count, just get the directory and you can call anybody in that directory and they will help you. And I just am praising God for that today.
I just praise God this morning. I know we recently shared how our youngest son had gotten baptized. And there was a gentleman in the congregation that day that just really was just ready to give up. And after hearing my son's testimony, it just resonated with him so much. And he's actually getting baptized this morning. So, you know, just allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and share our story. We just don't know that impact. And I am just so grateful and thank God today.
Well, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord, for getting us through the week. Some have had good weeks, some have had tough weeks, but whatever the week is, we know you're there with us, right beside us, guiding us, leading us, sometimes carrying us through that week. Thank you for Holly being protected in this accident. Lord, be with these different requests, Sandy's request, and the other requests, Lord, that have been mentioned this morning. I know I'm not going to remember all of them, but you know all these requests, Lord, and for Roger and different ones, Lord, that are in situations that need you, that need a touch. And Dan was thankful, Lord, that you were there for his surgery and guided the physicians and joy surgery and things that have happened, Lord. A lot of us need spiritual surgery. We need to have our lives renewed and a new touch by you, Lord, to be strengthened and encouraged, because sometimes we get down and depressed and things of the world tend to seem to cave in, but we know that you're the light, that you have the path for us to take, and you give us strength through the Holy Spirit. So we ask you to be with us this morning, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, to guide and direct us and heal us from wounds that we may have, whether they be physical, emotional, spiritual, that you would heal us with those things that are bothering us, Lord, because we know that you are the great physician. Guide and direct us this morning in the service as we seek to praise and honor you, be with the other churches that are meeting, those that have already met in different countries. Lord, we serve a powerful God that's not limited by space or time or place. And we ask you to continue to move and work in our community as we hope to be a part of this community and help to represent Christ in your name. Amen. And speaking of that community, we were given 1,000 eggs from the community uptown, West Jeff, and I said we would stuff those eggs. So I don't want to do it by myself. So during the potluck, if you feel so led, take some eggs and put a piece of candy in each one while you're back there eating, and then we'll be able to help them because that's something we can do for them. They're having an Easter egg hunt after ours, and they have, like, I don't know how many thousands of eggs, but each church is going to try to help stuff some eggs. So if you could do that this morning, that would be great. And thanks.
We're very fortunate you're a good egg.
We'll be right back.
You can turn this one off. The pulpit one. Yep.
I'm going to try the headset. That's pretty loud. You can probably turn it down a little bit. We're trying a different headset to see if that works better than the other one we had. So, well, we're looking at this week at a familiar passage in 2 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 11 and 12. And I've gone through this before, and you've probably heard this before. But there's some new things in there I think we can look at that God can show us. If you read Scripture more than once, then you know when you go through it another time, you find some things you didn't notice before. So, how many of you ever tried to hide things from your parents? Only one of your children has ever hid anything from you. Thaddeus said, admitted it, but everybody else, they haven't hid a thing from you. That's amazing. All of us have hid something from somebody at some time or another, haven't we? I've told you the story before about my son Isaac, which I've probably told you four times now. He was behind the couch and doing something, and my wife had said, Isaac, what are you doing back there? Nothing. Isaac, did you take one of these cookies? No, I swallowed it. And he had cookies in his teeth, you know how Oreo cookies are and those kind of things. We've all tried to hide something, but in most cases, you're going to get found out, right? Somebody's going to find out sooner or later. They talk about these criminals that commit these perfect crimes, but yet they have to tell somebody because they want some kind of recognition for what they've done. But in life, there's people who do things and think nobody's ever going to know. Maybe they cheat on their taxes. Maybe they cheat on a test. Maybe they drink and drive. Maybe look at inappropriate images or magazines. Maybe they experiment with illegal drugs. Maybe they step out on their spouse and choose to have a one-night stand. Maybe they go on a trip and decide to watch TV or something they shouldn't watch, or on their computer. There's a number of scenarios we could cite, but in fact, when we do wrong things, they catch up with us, don't they? Eventually, there's going to be some kind of consequence that's going to happen at some point. If not now, you think you got away from it, there's eternity, isn't there? Because God knows it's going to catch up either here on this earth or it's going to catch up later on, but it's going to be found out. This morning, you look at a person in the Bible who did something he knew was wrong, thought nobody would find out. Thought it was like the perfect crime. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. Starting in 11. Chapter 11, it starts out with, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Amnon, and they besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. We talk about this being a key point because what does it say? When kings go out to battle, doesn't it? And where was David? Someplace he shouldn't have been. Right? He's in a place where he shouldn't have been. If you've heard this sermon before, you've heard about David and Bathsheba. But it's important because David stayed home where he shouldn't have been. He should have been doing what other kings are supposed to be doing. Did that cause him to do something wrong? No, it didn't cause him that, but it led him into something wrong, didn't it? He was in a place he shouldn't have been. Have you ever been in a place where you shouldn't have been, that you were tempted maybe? And you found, I'm in this place, I probably shouldn't be here. There's temptation going on. Remember when I was in high school, my friends and I all went to a movie. And when you get in the movie, you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't be in here. Some of the stuff comes on the screen. And then at that point, you know, because of peer pressure, you're there and you think, do I stay or do I go? That's a question we have in a lot of places we go and do things. Do I stay or do I go? Is it temptation for me? Is it something that's going to be bad? What would you do in that case? Do you stay or do you go? I'm not going to have you answer that question because that's for your own choice to make. But we get in situations like that where we wonder, should I stay here or should I leave this place? In David's case, he stayed home and he stayed in the place of temptation. There was temptation there, but he stayed there. He could have went to the window and looked and walked away, didn't he? But he stayed there. And this part's kind of like a novel. It says, then it happened one evening. You know, you're reading along and it says, and then it happened. And you know what's going to happen next. Well, it said, David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful to behold.
Okay, so that part, he saw her. What should he have done? He should have walked away, shouldn't he? But at this point, he hadn't done anything wrong yet. He saw her, he was tempted, he should have walked away from it, but he didn't. Verse 3 says, so David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So here it begins. Somebody's telling him right there, David, this is somebody else's wife right here. What are you doing looking at her? So first he asked about her, then he found out who her father is. And he should have said, oh, well, she's a married woman. Maybe I should forget about this and go on my way. But he doesn't do that. Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. So not only was he tempted, but he acted on that temptation. So the Bible says we'll be tempted, doesn't it? But it's what you do with that temptation that makes a difference. He acted on that temptation, and he said, oh, bring her to me. Knowing she was somebody else's wife, knowing that her husband wasn't there. And then he slept with her, basically, right? And then he sent her back home. He thought, well, nobody's going to find out, you know. I did this in secret. I sent my messenger to her. Nobody's going to find out what happened. I sent her back home. Well, people do things wrong in most cases. Hopefully, they feel guilty, right? But in other cases, they just try to cover it up. Oh, I know that was wrong, but I'm going to cover this up. I know I did this wrong, but, you know, it was an accident. It was an accident. I didn't really mean to do it. I didn't really mean to send for her. It was an accident, right? So we try to cover it up a lot of times. We either pretend it never happened, we deny it, or we try to cover it up. But David had a problem. He slept with another man's wife who was one of his loyal soldiers, and he got some unexpected news that he didn't think was going to happen. It says in verse 5, and the woman conceived, so she sent and told David, I'm with child. So she didn't have text, right? She had to send a messenger. Okay, David, I'm pregnant. My husband's not around, so what's going to happen? So does David say, yeah, I'm sorry, I slept with you. You know, it's my fault. I'm guilty. Does he call up Uriah? You know, bring Uriah to my house. Uriah, this is what happened. No, he makes a plan to cover it up. He actually has three different plans. So David said, sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked him how it was going and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. So David sends for Bathsheba's husband in a casual conversation. Hey buddy, how's it going? Just checking on you. Wanted to see how things are happening. How's the war going? You know, how things happen up there. He doesn't care about Uriah. He doesn't care at all about Uriah. He's just trying to figure out how to get him to his place. Verse 8, David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. Uriah, go home. Spend time with your wife. Here's some, I don't know what he gave him, wine and food and whatever else he gave him. Here, have some things. Enjoy yourself while you're here. You're not at the battle right now. Go home and see your wife. Verse 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. Think David expected that? No way. He thought the guy's going to run home as quick as he can, right? He's been to war. So when they told David, saying Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a long journey? Why'd you not go down to your house? David's like, okay, well, that plan A didn't work. Thought I'd just bring him home, send him home. He'd be happy to go home and see his wife, but he didn't do that. This is what he says. And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel of Judah are dwelling in tents. My lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go home to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. So he's saying, I'm an honorable man. My guys are out there fighting. My captain's out there fighting. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to go home and enjoy myself. They're at war. I'm part of them. We're all together. So he was an honorable man, wasn't he? He thought about his troops, his friends. He wasn't going to go back and say, oh, yeah, guys, I did all this while I was home. You know, they're probably asking him, what'd you do? Well, I slept at the king's door. I didn't go to my wife or anything. I stayed, just like you guys. So David didn't count on that. So he goes to plan B to cover up his deed. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next, and now David called him, and he ate and drank before him. He made him drunk. And at the evening he went out to lie on his bed, with the servants of the Lord, but he did not go down to his house. So David's plan B, let's get this guy drunk. I know he'll go home if I get him drunk. But instead, he goes to the servants and stays with the servants and doesn't go home. So David's like, whoa, dude, that was plan A, didn't work. Plan B didn't work. I got to think of plan C. So what's my plan C going to be? In the morning, it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab, and here's the part that gets me, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. So David writes this letter. It's about Uriah, which we're going to find out. Gives it to Uriah to deliver it about himself, but Uriah doesn't know it's in the letter that David wrote. It's cruel, it's desperate, and it's pretty cold if you ask me. So here's what it says. It says he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab. And some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So what's plan C? Put Uriah in front of the line, and everybody else step back. So he's going to be defenseless, right, against their warriors, their fighters, and he's going to be killed. So the plan was, oh, let him get killed in battle, right? So nobody's going to know anything. If Uriah's dead, nobody's going to know what happened. Let him get killed in battle. Perfect plan, right? Nobody's going to know. He's killed in battle, so nobody's going to find out. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Doesn't say anybody else knew about it, does it? But it says the thing he did displeased the Lord. God knew what he did. He thought he covered it up. Nobody's going to find out. But it said he displeased the Lord, so he found out. When we do things we shouldn't do behind closed doors or in another place or on our computer or wherever it is, even if nobody sees us, even if we write something on our taxes and stuff that's not true, God knows, doesn't he? He knows it's true. And he's going to find out, and we'll be confronted at some point, either in our conscience or somebody else will confront us. And we're not going to like it. But it needs to be done, doesn't it? When your kids do something wrong or your friend or your spouse does something wrong, they need to be confronted. Otherwise, you're going to think it's okay. Oh, that's okay. Nobody found out. I can keep doing that. You need to be confronted that it's wrong. 2 Samuel 12, and I'm going to not do every verse in order, but it says, then the Lord sent Nathan to David. So God sent somebody to him. Did he ever send anybody to you to confront you about something? You're like, whoa, I didn't know you knew that. You're doing something wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. This is not the way you treat your wife or your husband or your kids or whatever it may be. And God will send somebody along. Sometimes it doesn't just happen by a person. It can happen through the radio, through the television, whatever it is, that you should be doing something different. I told you I was called to the mission field through the radio. Didn't I tell you that? I've talked about that story before. Or we're supposed to go on missions, and I heard it on the radio, I'd heard it on TV, I heard it in messages, and I kept hearing about missions, and I'm like, oh, fine, I give up. Okay, so I'll go. So I didn't ever plan on being a missionary or going to another country. I was happy where I was. But God said, that's not where I want you to go. It says, and he came to him, this is Nathan to David, and said to him, now he tells him a story. Sometimes we can tell stories, can't we? And people kind of get the gist. Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. So he tells him a story. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children and ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay at his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man and refused to take from his own flock, from his own herd, to repair one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David was angry and aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. He shall restore fourfold the lamb because he did this thing, because he had no pity. So God sends Nathan to tell him this story. Isn't this an interesting story? Funny thing is, David doesn't think about it. Like, well, that sounds familiar, right? He's like all mad. Like, this guy should have this payment. This guy should do this and all these things. And then it happens again. Then Nathan said to David, You are the man. You're the man. It was you. It wasn't a lamb. It was Uriah's wife that you took. You have all these women in your harem, or whatever they call it. I guess it's called a harem. I don't know. You have all these women, your concubines and things that you have, and you decide to take this one who wasn't yours. This guy only had one wife. You took him, his wife, and then you had him killed. It says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. So God said, look at all the stuff you have. Why are you taking somebody else's wife? And he says, why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon, which means you just sent him into battle, and you got him killed. So even though you didn't do it directly, you had him killed. So he says, I know what you did. It's kind of a different feeling when somebody says that to you, isn't it? When you know you did something wrong, somebody's like, I know what you did, and you're like, What do you know? What did I do? And then they actually really know what you did. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me. You've taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversary against you from your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. He shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So you think David had some consequences for his actions? He did, didn't he? And he said, you did this in secret, but your punishment is going to be in public. Everybody's going to see what's going to happen to you. I think if we had some things like that today, we wouldn't have as much crime as we have, would we? You've done this in secret. I'm going to tell everybody what you did. It's going to be out there. We're going to broadcast it everywhere. This is what you did. This is your punishment. So finally, David comes to his senses. He says, I've sinned against the Lord. I did wrong. I messed up. It's my fault. I admit that I did this. Instead of saying, no, it was their fault. They caused me to do it. They made me do it. Because of this, I did it. Well, if that TV show hadn't been on, I wouldn't have watched it. Well, if these video games hadn't been there, I wouldn't have shot that person. He says, I did it. I've sinned against God. Don't make excuses. It was only one time. I only cheated a little bit. Didn't hurt anybody. Nobody saw me do it. Right? Just admit it. I did it. I did it. I'm willing to take whatever consequence it is. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me to have things right. Then Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. That means God saw your sin. He's put it away. However, because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child who is born to you shall surely die. So the baby, he's in Bathsheba, is going to die. He's telling that right now. This baby's going to die. Baby became ill, passed away on the seventh day. The servants have been talking about it all week, you know, saying David's not saying anything. He's not eating. He's mourning. And then when he dies, they say to David, you know, when David saw that his servants were whispering, he perceived the child was dead, and therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he's dead. And then then he says, David arose from the ground and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes and went into his house and worshiped the Lord. And then we skip over to verse 23. But now he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back? And this part I think is important. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know what that's telling me? David says, I'm going to see him again someday. I'm going to be united with my child someday. When I die, we're going to be together. He's not gone. He's in heaven. He's with God, and I'm going to be there. So we talk about babies that die and those kind of things. Somebody says, oh, they're just gone. No, you're going to see him again. They didn't have a chance to commit or reject the Lord. They're going to heaven. So babies that die that are killed or aborted or in a car crash, whatever it may be, they're going to be in heaven. You're going to see them again. If you lost a child in childbirth, you're going to see that child someday. So David's saying, I'll go to him. Because when he passes away, he's going to see that child. So it gives him some hope. Even though he slept with another man's wife, tried to kill, covered it up, and then tried to act like nothing happened. He was pointed out his sins. He asked for forgiveness. You know, just because you ask for forgiveness doesn't mean there's not a consequence, right? There's still going to be a consequence. God's going to be there in your consequence, but there's still going to be a consequence for what you've done. But he does offer forgiveness and peace in that. But that wasn't the end. Because David knew that even though he'd sinned and done these things wrong, he's going to be forgiven by the Lord. And then in verse 24 it says, then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went to lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. So David had another son, didn't he? After he went through all that turmoil, all the hardship, all the things that happened. And we know that Solomon was a king, right, of Israel. So in a nutshell, see, it's in a nutshell. I put it in a nutshell for you. You can't hide your deeds from God. What does the whole message tell us? You can't hide your deeds from God. If you do something wrong, he's going to know. Admit it, ask him for forgiveness, and then go on and serve him the best that you can. There'll be consequences, but there's also restoration. You can be restored, right, to a right life, a right relationship with God or whatever it is. He offers restoration to us. But our part is to admit it, to repent, and ask for forgiveness. And then don't stay in that. Carry on, right? Carry on. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples that you show us with David and others in the Bible, or that you know everything. You love us, you care for us, you want the best for us, and we want to be the best we can be for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand this morning. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name. We love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name, glorify.
Amen. Go forth and let people know that you've worshiped the Lord today.